And welcome in to the latest edition of Be Conscious. I am Damon Barling, and I thank you so much for hitting the download button, hitting the subscribe button, or maybe you just found us on accident. Either way, we greatly appreciate it. Thank you so much. A couple of things to start us off. First, I believe I got some explaining to do. Last episode, several weeks ago, told you season two was back. We're underway. Kind of got them creative juices flowing. Been holding back on some topics. Been really looking to dive into, and then disappeared for a few weeks. So let's start here. First of all, thank you for all of the amazing feedback we got on that first episode of season two. That episode we did, it was really a behind the scenes look at the podcast, the creation of the podcast, the direction of the podcast, a little bit of radio stuff in there for those in the Northern California area who are familiar with the radio work that I do. But just enough to kind of quench everybody's appetite. Really got some great feedback on it because obviously it was a deeply personal issue. And I told you as part of that episode, we were going to do another episode that was also really, really personal. And that's where I was going to go with this episode. However, something happened along the way. So let me lay out the timeline of events for you. We put out that episode last week, or excuse me, we put out that episode a few weeks ago, the first episode of season two. And I thought, all right, I know exactly what direction I'm going to go for the second episode. And I sat down and started to record it, and it was emotional, and it was going exactly in the direction that I wanted it to. I wanted to convey a very personal message to you. And as I mentioned, I've started recording these at home for a number of reasons, for time purposes, for convenience purposes. There are times where I have ideas for a podcast or I have feelings or emotions on a particular topic, and I just want to sit down and start recording without driving into the radio studio or without having to make arrangements to be in a studio. So I set it up at the house to where I can record a high quality podcast and just sit down any time of day, any time of night, and record my thoughts. Well, the downside to that was, as I got so involved in the topic, my computer went to sleep, which I didn't really think anything of until I realized when the computer went to sleep, my program stopped recording. And so I knew in that moment there was no way that I could just stop and restart the entire episode. So I thought, okay, no problem. Gonna shut it down. Gonna regroup. And then I'll just re-record it. It'll be up maybe a day or two later than it normally is. But I'll be able to get that emotion back when I sit down to record it long form. I just got to keep a better eye on the computer. Then I don't like to acknowledge that I can get sick. So I'll just say I became a little under the weather. And it started to affect my voice after a few days. And that wasn't necessarily an issue because I feel like I can mask that. What became an issue is that I couldn't talk for more than 60 seconds without having to cough or clear my throat. So if you hear me do that a couple of times, please bear with me. I'm still just a little bit of remnants from it. Nothing really serious. Like, I'm fine. I don't even consider myself as being sick. But it was enough to agitate my voice, agitate my throat, and agitate my ability to communicate to you effectively, especially without a partner here, or without a mute button here, or without all of those little gadgets that I have at the radio station that get me through a 3-hour radio show. So the opportunity to kind of record that, I went to the Bay this past weekend just to kind of get away and clear my mind. And when I did that Friday, I thought, okay, I've got to get this podcast recorded because it's something that I really, really want to share with everybody. And then the Colin Kaepernick case happened. And so that became clear. Okay, Be Conscious started with a conversation with Howard Bryant that really centered around Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick was really the genesis of the Be Conscious podcast. And Colin Kaepernick was really the catalyst behind the Lowdown, the radio show I do in Northern California and on KHTK.com and the KHTK app. That became the kind of driving force because it was such a polarizing topic. It still to this day is a polarizing topic, and I think it's going to be forever. I think Colin Kaepernick is going to fall along the lines of a Muhammad Ali for now. Because remember, And we discussed this in the conversation with Howard Bryant. We've discussed this in a number of different episodes of Be Conscious. Muhammad Ali wasn't in the 60s the guy that he's portrayed to be now. Neither was Dr. Martin Luther King. Like, they're portrayed as these beloved figures, and oh gosh, what a wonderful thing they were for the human race. Man, both of them in the 60s were hated. And you think about the era of America that we're in right now, and the guy who was elected the leader of this country. We're in a very similar place as we were in the 60s. And that, again, it's a conversation we've had a million times before. If you're not familiar with this podcast, this is your first episode. I can't recommend enough going back into the archives and listening to some of our conversations about race and politics, or race and politics in sports. I believe they're all fascinating conversations with fascinating individuals. Caron J. Phillips from the New York Daily News mentioned Howard Bryant a moment ago. David Steele, who wrote Tommy Smith's autobiography with him, is very intimate with that situation from the 1968 Olympics and all of the fallout from it. I believe there's a lot of great conversation there, and we talk a lot about history and how history gets reshaped. And I think in time, the history surrounding Colin Kaepernick will be reshaped. But as we go here to what happened just about a week ago, when we received news that Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed and the NFL have come to an agreement on a settlement that will remain confidential, I assume forever, that would put an end to the grievance case that Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed have against the National Football League. And I think there's a lot of things to take away from this. And I did a TV show with my friends over at CBS 13 this past weekend, in which I was asked, who do you think won in this situation, Colin Kaepernick or the NFL? And my answer was really easy. It's whatever side you were on to begin with. Because if you believe that Colin Kaepernick won, you were likely on the side of Colin Kaepernick to begin with. If you believe that the NFL won, you were likely anti-Colin Kaepernick the entire time. Nothing that has happened over the course of the last 7 or 8 days is going to change your mind. A great example would be Albert Breer. Albert Breer, Sports Illustrated. I don't have an ounce of respect for him or the way he writes or the way that he communicates. And he put out a tweet that said, "Wow, Kaepernick and Reed settle with the NFL." And I took that tweet and didn't change one single word. Changed some of the position, but didn't change a single word. Wrote the same thing back. "Wow, the NFL settles with Kaepernick and Reed." You hear the difference? You hear how you could take the exact same words, "Wow, Kaepernick and Reed settle with the NFL," and then change it to, "Wow, the NFL settles with Kaepernick and Reed." The meaning and the distinction behind those two phrases are very, very, very different. And Albert Breer, from day one, has been an NFL shill. He's been on the side of Colin Kaepernick isn't good. Colin Kaepernick isn't qualified to be a quarterback. Colin Kaepernick isn't good enough to be a third string quarterback in the NFL. And as this news about the NFL broke, nothing changed that. Absolutely nothing changed his state of mind. And you could see that. You could see that in his writing. It was obvious. So, again, nothing that happened is going to change your mind. You're not going to feel any different about Colin Kaepernick today than you did last week. You're not going to, as a matter of fact, some of you who are down for the cause, so to speak, might have negative feelings towards Colin Kaepernick. And I received a lot of those questions over the weekend. Are you upset that Cap and Reed settled? Are you upset that we'll never know whether the NFL colluded to keep him out of the league? Like, yeah, no, I already know they did collude. That's very obvious. I don't need to see the settlement. I don't need to see a dollar figure. I don't need to see a piece of paper. I don't need to see a text message. I don't need to hear a transcript to know or an audio recording to know that the NFL colluded to keep Colin Kaepernick out of the NFL. I don't think they're nearly as scared of Eric Reed as they are Colin Kaepernick. And that's probably stamped by the fact that Eric Reed is in the NFL. Eric Reed was the second guy to do it, and God bless him. He was the first one to get right next to Cap and roll with him. Cool. Mad respect for Eric Reed for that, because I do believe he suffered because of it. Cap is the one, though. Cap is the single most polarizing sports figure we have seen since, and I don't know how many of you are actually alive for this, Muhammad Ali. And it's not even close. I mean, think about that for a second, too. Colin Kaepernick, who was a fine quarterback. I mean, he wasn't great. He had moments of greatness for sure. But the last time we saw him, he was fine. Certainly an NFL quality quarterback. Just not necessarily great. He had been injured. We hadn't seen a healthy Cap do anything for a while. When we did, he was pretty damn good. But he elicits a reaction. He elicits emotion. The sheer sight. We've done this experiment 1,000 times on social media. You put up a post that has Kaepernick's picture or Kaepernick's name, and people just can't help but comment on it. Day of the Super Bowl, I posted a picture of myself in a I'm with Cap t-shirt. And donated, it was a seven-day challenge, I think it was, or $7 challenge, or seven challenge, something like that, that one of my friends who's associated with the Know Your Rights campaign asked me to be a part of. And the campaign was simple. Donate $7 to Know Your Rights, and then post a picture, and ask other people to do it. Did that. Wrote clearly in the post, hey, this is about charity. This is about our youth. This is about the Know Your Rights Foundation. Save your lame-ass thoughts on Colin Kaepernick's quarterback play for another post. This ain't it. This is for charity. But some of y'all just couldn't help yourself. You saw the I'm with Cap t-shirt. You saw my language about Colin Kaepernick, and you had to write about it. And what's funny, man, like I've opened my Facebook page up. Like it's not a friends and family page. Like it's just a page. It's just a page that plays into the public life that I live through the radio station and this podcast. And that's fine. You got something to say on it? Say it. And it was funny to see how many MAGA people jumped in and they just can't scroll past it. It's like they got that red hat with the white letters and they got Donald Trump as their cover photo. And they have to stop on a post that says something about Colin Kaepernick. They just have to. You've got dudes in the NFL who have beat women up. You've got a quarterback in the NFL who is heralded as a Super Bowl champion and a future Hall of Famer and the leader of a storied dynasty that's been accused of rape twice. You got drug addicts. You got PED abusers. You got PED abusers winning the MVP of the Super Bowl. And yet they're a fraction of as polarizing as Colin Kaepernick is. As a matter of fact, those players don't even qualify as polarizing. Kareem Hunt? Kareem Hunt's not polarizing. Simple thing with Kareem Hunt is, what can you do for my fantasy football team? Because that's all I care about. Oh, you kicked the girl? Oh, he didn't kick her that hard. Don't nobody care? Reuben Foster? Can he still play? I mean, how many picks did we give up for him? Well, we gave up a 7th-round pick? Oh, that's fine. Low risk. Low risk, high reward. I mean, that's why Aaron Hernandez wasn't a big deal. Like, Aaron Hernandez is taboo. We're not supposed to talk about him. Think about that for a second. We're not supposed to talk about Aaron Hernandez. We're supposed to ignore the fact that the Patriots took him, what was it, in the 4th round, 5th round? Oh, but it's okay because he was a projected 1st round pick. So you can roll the dice on him in the 4th or 5th round and see, not really a big deal. No big deal there because it's not much of a risk. No big deal there because it's not much of a risk when you're drafted that late. But we're not supposed to talk about the fact that he was serving time in jail for murder. And he probably killed like 3 or 4 other people. But we don't talk about that. We don't talk about that as an issue with the NFL because we got to talk about the black quarterback who sat on the bench during the national anthem and sparked outrage among the predominantly Republican following of the National Football League. It's so ass backwards, man. And again, nothing that happened over the course of the last 7 days with the settlement between Colin Kaepernick, Eric Reed, and the NFL is going to change your mind. Cat fans are super pumped. Guess what just came out? The new Nike jersey. That black Nike jersey with the 7 and the Colin Kaepernick on the back. Or the Kaepernick on the back. That just came out. $150 on Nike. I bet those things are gone by the time you're listening to this podcast. Just like that last Kaepernick shirt. Came and went. Two separate orders came and went. Nike's rolling out the Kaepernick gear. You think he's done? There are people who ask me, you think Colin Kaepernick's message was lost because he settled with the NFL? You got all these people talking about, you got all these people who claim to be activists and claim to be down for the cause saying, you know what? He shouldn't have done that. He should have exposed the NFL. Who you think's going to fight this to the end? What case has the NFL ever lost? Think about that, too, when you're wondering who won this case. NFL didn't lose Deflategate. They didn't lose any case they've ever been involved in. What was the last one? Was Al Davis the only one that beat him? That was in a different era of the NFL, man. You're going to have to hang your hat on something else. What do they lose? They get what they want. And they got endless money to fight it. Because we're going to keep pumping money into the NFL. Day after day, week after week, month after month, we're going to keep pumping money into the NFL. And they're going to keep having money to spend. You think Cap got that money? You think his attorneys are willing to invest that amount of time into an organization that just refuses to stop? This could have been tied up in litigation forever, but we were in that discovery phase. Remember that. That's important. We were in the discovery phase where evidence was going to come out and it was going to be made public. Now, suddenly, there's a settlement. Now, suddenly, we don't want you to see everything. We had questioned for months. All it takes is one. One text, one email, one voicemail, one phone call, one note on a sticky pad that could take down the entire NFL. One dumb owner that didn't shred all the paperwork. That's all it took. But there could have been more to it. There was that poll that was put out, the research that the NFL conducted. They didn't ask anybody how they felt about domestic abusers in the NFL. They didn't ask them how they felt about PED users. They didn't ask them any of that stuff. They asked them how they felt about Colin Kaepernick. And what are you going to do with that research? What are you going to do when your little Gallup poll comes back to you and says, your fan base doesn't like Cap? What are you going to do with it? Like, why would you conduct that poll? Why would you need to know that? Why have you never done that? Why didn't you do that with Ray Lewis? When Ray Lewis maybe probably was a part of a double homicide. Why didn't you do anything then? No, you didn't. Why? Well, because he wound up winning the Super Bowl. The following year, nobody forgives faster than an NFL fan base who can root for a winner. Ray Lewis went from white suit, double homicide, obstruction of justice, telling the people in his limousine after the murder was committed, my career is over, my life is over, to being a inspirational leader, a vocal leader within the Baltimore Ravens locker room, a vocal leader for young professional football players to look up to. Y'all didn't conduct any research on him. Ain't nobody ever once asked me how I felt about Ray Lewis, because I'd be happy to tell you. I'd be happy to tell you how I feel about people like Ray Lewis and people like Kareem Hunt. And I'll be happy to tell you how I feel about people like Julian Edelman. I'm supposed to believe that, I just happened to take a performance-enhancing drug coming off of an injury. And, by the way, I went on to win the Super Bowl MVP. Forgive and forget, right? That's the motto of the NFL. Unless you make people uncomfortable. Better yet, unless you make white people uncomfortable. Because did the NFL do a poll? What was my man's name in Philadelphia? I feel like it was Riley Cooper. Is that the dude's name? The one from Philadelphia who was at the Kenny Chesney concert and said he'd beat up every N-word in the building? At a country concert, I'm sure there were tons of black. He wanted to fight all of them. He wanted to fight every black person he saw at a Kenny Chesney concert. NFL never asked me how I felt about him being in the league. Not once. But you know what they did? And maybe he did this on his own, but Philadelphia was smart. They marched Michael Vick out there with him. they sent the black quarterback out there with the white receiver to put his arm around him and say, hey, brother, it's okay. We've got you back. They did that. My man who was the Green Beret, he did that with Cap. But it didn't work. White people were too uncomfortable. See, black people, we didn't have a choice in the matter. We're not going to oust Lincoln or Riley Cooper. Not going to be able to oust him. No. We got Michael Vick out there. If Michael Vick says it's okay, then damn it, it's okay. Of course, no one asked me, though, right? No one asked if I was okay with Riley Cooper being out there. No one asked if I was okay with that. No one asked if I was okay with his language because, quite honestly, NFL doesn't care. You know what he was rewarded with? A contract. He was rewarded with a contract extension. How about that? One dude, very obviously racist, rewarded with a contract extension. One dude just asking for social equality. Nah, told to leave the league, man. We actually wasn't even told to leave the league. Just told we can't do nothing with you. We can't do nothing for you. We can't help you. Oh, no. This isn't collusion. You're just not good enough. And then you have all of these myths, truths that are still being told after all of these years. It fascinates me. When this story came out Friday, we spent a significant time talking about it on my radio show. And it's shocking to me how many people still don't get what happened. They still don't understand the truth of it all. They believe what is regurgitated to them by that has the spin on it that they want to hear. Another great example, Doug Gottlieb. Doug Gottlieb ain't done a radio show without his head up his ass yet. But he took to the news. He took to his radio show the day Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid settled, or the day that the NFL settled with Kaepernick and Reid. Oh, he had plenty to say. Oh, don't act like Colin Kaepernick wasn't welcome back in the league. The Baltimore Ravens was going to bring him in. Oh, for real? The Ravens were going to, they were going to bring in Colin Kaepernick. Why? Because Ray Lewis said so? Because Steve Bisciotti said so? No, man. Mm-mm. No, you can't fool me like that. Don't play me like that. Because Ray Lewis, we was in the back. We was going to bring Kaepernick. We was in the back. And then his girlfriend posted the message equating us to slave owners in 12 Years a Slave or Amistad or whatever the post was from. Oh, it was that kept you from signing a quarterback that could help you? Huh. Okay. And Ray Lewis talking about being in the back ready to sign players. What position does Ray Lewis have with the Baltimore Ravens? He doesn't have one. It's the TV networks with no shame who put him on the air. Ain't nobody give him a front office position with the Baltimore Ravens, but he's making personnel decisions? Okay. Then you got the Seahawks story. Well, he was going to play for the Seattle Seahawks. It would have been perfect, but Pete Carroll came out and said he wanted starting quarterback money. Nah, dude, that's not what Pete Carroll said. You're lying, Doug. You're not telling the truth. You're spinning a half-truth and making it into a story. Pete Carroll never said anything about starting quarterback money. He said Colin Kaepernick is a starting quarterback in this league. That's what he said. He never mentioned money. I just watched that presser that he did after that visit today. He never mentioned money, never mentioned a dollar figure. And you know who else has never mentioned a dollar figure? Everyone. Colin Kaepernick's agent has never had a conversation with an NFL team about money. It's never gotten that far. But everybody refuses to believe that. Oh, let's go with John Elway. John Elway wanted Colin Kaepernick, right? He did his due diligence. Colin Kaepernick didn't want to sign with him. Nope. Not what happened. Not even close. It's one of the reasons I'm absolutely disgusted by John Elway. One, because there's a couple, but one of them was his handling of the Colin Kaepernick situation. He came out and said, well, politics and sports should be kept separate. Oh, okay. I mean, that's understandable, right? Says the guy who on company letterhead, Denver Broncos letterhead, wrote a letter of endorsement for a congressman or a senator or something like that in Denver. But politics and sports are supposed to be kept separate. Nah, John, it's your politics that are supposed to be kept separate. You don't care if the Denver Broncos replicate it that you care about. You're issue is with the message, not the individual. It's the message. You don't like the message. Oh, but now we're going to drudge up this old story when your long line of quarterbacks all suck. And you're asked, hey, would you ever consider bringing Colin Kaepernick in? And he says, we tried to bring Kaepernick in. Cap had his chance to be a Denver Bronco. He didn't want to do it. That's interesting. That hit the news cycle as if you had had a recent conversation with Colin Kaepernick, which you did not. You never clarified your marks. And to your defense, to a certain degree, nobody out there pressed you on the issue. You haven't had a recent conversation with Colin Kaepernick. What you did was have trade discussions when he was a member of the San Francisco 49ers. And when he was a member of the San Francisco 49ers, you wanted him to come in and be the quarterback for the Denver Broncos at a fraction of the contract that the San Francisco 49ers were required to pay him. See, he was due to make $17 million whether he played a down or not. But old Johnny wanted to come in. Come in, earn your place here, boy. We'll give you $10 million. We'll give you a fraction of what you're already guaranteed by the San Francisco 49ers, but you'll have the privilege of playing for me. I'm John Elway, and this is the Denver Broncos. He completely misrepresented that situation. There's nothing true about what John Elway said. He was purposely misleading because he wanted to make Kaepernick look bad. And that shouldn't be all surprising, given his fan base. Given the fan base of the NFL, they're not Colin Kaepernick fans. We've learned that. They don't want Colin Kaepernick in the league. Unless they were positive, Colin Kaepernick could lead them to a Super Bowl. Whole game has changed if they are positive Colin Kaepernick can lead them to a Super Bowl. Not think, but are positive. Because ultimately, it's what NFL fans care about. Would NFL fans be willing to look past their own racist views for their team to win a Super Bowl? My guess is yes. Because if you're telling me murder, doesn't faze us. Domestic violence, doesn't faze us. Multiple accusations of rape, no big deal. But social equality, no. That's where we draw the line. We don't want any of those social justice warriors on our team. And now what makes it worse is Colin Kaepernick's attorneys coming out and saying, no, I think he's going to be signed. I think there's a couple of teams out there. Can you imagine if David Tepper, the new owner of the Carolina Panthers, brings in Cap to play with Eric Reed? It'd be a perfect fit. And if Cam Newton's not ready to go, it's a match made in heaven. If it's not David Tepper and it's not the Carolina Panthers, I can see old Bobby Kraft making a play for Cap. And I'm listening to all that. It's not the first time Cap's attorneys have said that. It's just, it loses credibility when you keep coming out and say, I think Colin Kaepernick's going to be signed soon. Man, he's not going to be signed. He's not going to play in the NFL. I think the settlement in this collusion case has officially marked the end of Colin Kaepernick's association with the NFL. It's over. It's done. He is officially a former NFL player. Now, his agent might be contacting teams. His agent might want him back in the league. Hell, there might be something in the settlement that says Colin Kaepernick can't come back to the league. Who knows? That's not any information we'll ever have. But my belief is Cap is never going to play in the NFL again. Now, I believe that before the settlement was reached. I never thought he was going to play again. Nothing about this settlement leads me to believe, oh, Cap is going to be out there playing soon. He's not. The NFL doesn't want him. Their predominantly Republican fan base doesn't want him. Most of these owners are afraid they'll get an angry Trump tweet if they sign him. Because, as you know, NFL owners are, for the most part, cowards. They follow the leader. Imagine that. Imagine being a billionaire and you still got to follow somebody. That's what the NFL does. They're made up of billionaires and a millionaire, at best. If you're Mark Davis, but you just got your nose up Jerry Jones's butt and you're following him around doing whatever he tells you to do. He wants you to move a team to Las Vegas. You move that team to Las Vegas. He wants you to move a team to Los Angeles. You move that team to Los Angeles. He wants you to move two teams to Los Angeles. Damn it, you do it. That's what Jerry Jones wants. That's what Jerry Jones gets. Jerry Jones, As we all know, he took his big dramatic knee before the national anthem so the HBO, or not HBO, what was the show? So the Amazon Prime cameras can catch it. And all the cameras that come around the world can catch him arm in arm with his black brothers and him taking a knee, smirking at the camera. Like, ha 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 ha, look at me. Look at what I'm doing. I'm kneeling for justice. And then he stands up, walks back, and the national anthem plays. Jerry's not stupid. Jerry's got a complete control over the NFL and its owners. Maybe Bobby Kraft has a voice. Maybe Stan Kroenke has a voice. But I believe there's only a handful of owners in the NFL that actually have a voice. And whether David Tepper does or not, it'd be interesting to see. We had heard a lot about David Tepper headed into his, I don't know, confirmation or whatever term you call it to become the Carolina Panthers owner. And one of the things we heard is he was disgusted by the situation going on with Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reid. I don't think it's an accident he's the guy who signed Eric Reid. Granted, the Carolina Panthers desperately needed someone at that position, and Eric Reid is a very recent Pro Bowler, multi-time Pro Bowler, so it worked out perfectly for them. And he signed a contract extension, so he's going to be back next year, which I didn't think was going to happen. I thought this was a little appeasement to the lawsuit where the NFL can say, look, we're not colluding. Eric Reid's playing football. I think Eric Reid had jumped on a lawsuit that really centered around Colin Kaepernick. This is about Colin Kaepernick not playing in the NFL. This is about NFL owners colluding to keep Colin Kaepernick out. And that's what they did. And ultimately, no matter what they paid, and we've heard rumors of $60 million, we've heard rumors of $80 million, we've heard rumors of upwards of $100 million. For the NFL, none of that matters. The NFL, in my opinion, if they didn't, would have paid $200 million to keep Colin Kaepernick out of the league. Because I think they believe now, as I said a moment ago, Cap's NFL career is over. Colin Kaepernick's association with the NFL is over. And that's the end of it. And I think they take solace in that. I think they're happy about that. Because they'll likely not have to answer questions about Colin Kaepernick anymore. Because they'll simply say, well, I'm sorry, the terms of the settlement are confidential. We can't answer your questions about Colin Kaepernick. Now, they might be asked, particularly at the beginning of training camp or at the beginning of the season, or they'll be asked when a quarterback goes down, hey, have you given any thought to Colin Kaepernick? Those responses will be interesting. Because if any talk of the settlement is brought up when someone is asked about bringing in Colin Kaepernick as a quarterback, well, then you know part of the settlement was stay the F away from our league. And if you missed last week's episode, there's a reason that I had to use the term the F instead of actually saying the word. See, the F word would have been really powerful right there. But the company tells me I got to pretend like I'm doing a radio show. We're out to the masses. What if there are kids listening to this subject matter? You can't use a strategically placed F-bomb. So I didn't. They want to keep Colin Kaepernick the F out of the NFL. And I think they've accomplished that. And truthfully, I don't believe, you know, we had mentioned this a moment ago that there were so many people, there were so many people who were allegedly down for Colin Kaepernick's cause, that were down for this racial equality thing, that were down for social justice, who, well, they're down on Colin Kaepernick agreeing to a settlement. Oh, man, he shouldn't have taken the money. He should have fought the NFL. Stop, man. There's this belief that social activists got to be poor. You got to be living on the streets to be an activist. Man, no, you don't. No, you don't. Nobody would have listened to Dr. King if he was living on the streets. Nobody would have listened to Muhammad Ali if he wasn't the heavyweight champion of the world. If Muhammad Ali was Cassius Clay, some dude out of Louisville, no one would have paid attention to him. But he was at the top, so they had to listen. Colin Kaepernick's at the top. Colin Kaepernick's message hasn't been silent. Cap hasn't said a word in 2 years. Ain't nothing silent about his message. It's as powerful as ever. His silence is more powerful than any words that he could speak. His silence got his Nike gear selling out. His silence got that Nike commercial viral. His silence got people wound up all over the place. You see that dummy in Colorado who said, I'm not I'm not carrying Nike anymore because they've got Colin Kaepernick as an endorser. Dude's store went out of business. Like, dude, you're going to be a sporting apparel store and not sell Nike? Man, that is a bold strategy, Cotton. We've seen how it pays off. It results in your business, which has been opened and owned by you for multiple decades, to be shut down. Joke's on you, my man. But hey, this isn't a race issue, right? This isn't a black issue. This isn't a white issue. This isn't about equality. This is about America and the flag. Oh, man. It was never about the flag. It was never about America. It was never about troops. It was about standing up and saying, hey, treat us equally. Hey, tell those cops out there, treat us the same way you treat white people that you pull over. This was about, hey, stop killing us. But that's too uncomfortable to say. So you had to frame it as something else. What could we frame it at? Ah, the flag, the anthem, America. We can frame this as anti-American. Okay. I didn't before Colin Kaepernick, and even less so after. I have never in my life cared about that song. I have never cared for the national anthem. I've never been moved by the national anthem. I have never given a damn about what that national anthem stands for. I don't care. You can't force me to care. You can't show me all of these reunion videos of troops and their families and make me care, because that's not the military I know. The only military I know is my grandpa's. My grandpa fought in wars, and he didn't speak glowingly about the wars that he fought in. He didn't speak glowingly about fighting for America. He didn't speak glowingly about what it was like when he came back. But I'm supposed to buy into this paid patriotism. I hate when sporting events and sporting teams do these reunited with their family things out there in center court. Exploiting these people like that. Exploiting their real life emotions. You hear people say all the time, oh man, those moments get me. Yeah, they get me too. They piss me off because they're so fake. Not fake in the emotion that those people are feeling out there on the floor or the field or wherever they may be doing it, but fake that the team thought, you know what? Let's do this. Let's glamorize the military. Let's glamorize these moments, because you know what? We're not going to show on our big jumbotron up aboard. You know what's not going to make the House of Highlights videos on Instagram? You know what's not going to make the Bleacher Report videos? Is the post-traumatic stress disorder that that soldier is going through when he goes home a week from now. It's not going to talk about the wreck that his family is because he's been overseas for the last several years. No, we're not going to show that part. We're just going to show the big happy reunion part to make the military look like it's just this big glamorous thing. It's not the military I know, man. It's not the national anthem I know either. And I respect every single person who's ever fought for this country. Every single one, because I sure as hell ain't brave enough to do it. And I wouldn't. And there's nothing, there's no story, there's no book that I'll ever read, or a story I'll ever hear, or a movie I'll ever watch that will change my views on the military. Because none of those people are as close to me as my grandpa was. My grandpa didn't give me career advice. He didn't give me direction. He told me one thing when I turned 18 years old. Dude, you are not joining the military, and you are never joining the military. Not that I needed him to say that to me, because I wasn't. That wasn't a path I was ever going down. But he did. And when we sat and we talked about what went on September 11, 2001, that was the first time he had really opened up about what war was like. And what battles were like. And what you really do when you fight for America. That's the military I know. There's nothing glamorous about it. There's nothing tear-inducing happy about it. Because those weren't the stories that he told me. And that anthem will never be I'm not patriotic, man. I think there's a big difference between being unpatriotic and just not being patriotic. I don't think I'm unpatriotic. I think there's a negative connotation to that. Like you dislike America or something, or you dislike this country. There's a lot of things about this country right now in 2019 that I dislike. But I don't want to live anywhere else. Heard Canada's nice. Heard Toronto's beautiful. But still, I like California. I like my sunshine. I like the beach being nearby. I don't want to live anywhere else. I'm good. But that doesn't mean I'm going to walk around with American flag boxers on. That doesn't mean I'm going to run around shouting Happy Independence Day on the 4th of July, or that I'm going to be waving American flags all over the place, or that I'm going to get all teary every time these troops stand out at center court and a blindfold is removed and the whole family is crying. Yeah, dude, that's not going to be me. That's never going to be me. I'll always be on the side of doing what's better for the people of this country. And in the end, when the story is written, Colin Kaepernick will be better for the people in this country. And if that's not a part of the NFL and it doesn't appear it's going to be, then fine. That's actually great, because his voice will be far bigger as the guy who was ousted by the most powerful league in American sports. As far as I'm concerned, the case around Colin Kaepernick in the NFL is closed. His playing career is closed. It's all done. And I'm sure he'll be mentioned again here on this podcast. So something will come up. As we mentioned, the Nike gear went on sale. The football jersey went on sale. He's going to continue to be a topic in sports. He's going to continue to be brought up when quarterbacks get hurt. So I'm sure he's going to come back up during this podcast. If all goes well, my plan, again, thank you for those of you who have subscribed. Thank you for those who have been down with this podcast from day one. If you're new, welcome. Please go back in the archives and check out some of the episodes from season number one. As I mentioned last week, this season's going to be a lot different. I'm going to try to get guests when I can, but you're just going to be hearing a lot of me talking about a lot of the situations that you're reading about, that you're talking about, that you're hearing about, that you're texting me about or tweeting about or whatever it may be. That's the stuff we're going to be talking about here, and I'd still love for you to be interactive. There's so many ways that you could do it. Damian Barling across all social media platforms, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. You could find me on all of those. So many of you sent your feedback to the last episode there. Are greatly appreciated. As I mentioned, the next one I want to do, there's a lot of social issues we've got to talk about. And I'm not sure which one we're going to do next week. If I could get myself in the frame of mind to record that episode for you that I was working on last week. And as I mentioned, it is just a painfully personal episode. My hope is, but I honest as I've ever been with you, I've got to be in the right frame of mind to record that. And I know it sucks, because I was in that frame of mind. Everything was rolling beautifully. And then the recording stopped. So that's 100% my fault, but I'm going to take myself back into that moment. I'm going to get going again, and I'm going to get that recorded for you. But either way, next week we'll either do that or we'll get into some of these other crazy issues that are going on all over our world right now. So again, Damian Barling across all social media platforms. If this is your first episode, please hit the subscribe button. Come back, whatever platform you're on, whether it's Spotify or iTunes or Google Play, whatever it is, just subscribe. Make sure you never miss an episode. If you have time to rate and review us, that would be amazing as well. And again, if you want to send any feedback, you got the social media platforms. It's Damian Barling. It's also my email address, DamianBarling@me.com. You can connect with me there. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.